On this fourth Sunday of Advent, we hear once again the story of Mary, as depicted in the first chapter of the Gospel of Luke. And it's fitting for us to focus in on Mary and her story, because, of course, she is the mother of the Christ child. And her story is remarkable, and it's one that we do know. Mary is engaged to Joseph, but not yet married. She is a virgin. And the angel Gabriel comes to her and says, the Holy Spirit is going to make you pregnant. And the child to be born is to be the Son of God, the Savior that we've all been waiting for. Now, this would be remarkable in and of itself. But Mary is chosen, I think, for two things I want to highlight today, for her faith and for her courage. If any of us had been approached by an angel, Gabriel, and given this story that as a teenage girl, she had been chosen by God, that she had been noticed at all and been greeted as favored one was shocking enough, but that she had been selected to bear the Messiah and that it was going to happen through the power of the Holy Spirit. You could forgive someone for thinking that this is a joke or that the person telling you this promise is crazy. But Mary is chosen by God for her faith, for her trust in God. And she hears Gabriel, and she says, let it be with me according to your word. That's the prelude to what we heard in our gospel text today, if you go back a few verses in chapter 1. She's chosen for her faith and her faithfulness. And faith is greatly required for the journey that she's embarking on, not only in the 9 months leading up to Jesus' birth, but her entire life. Jesus is loved by his mother. Mary shows Jesus, who gives his love for the whole world. Mary is the first to love Jesus and models for her son, as mothers do, how to be loving and caring in the world. But Mary is also incredibly courageous. Imagine the conversation she had with Joseph. This would be not only normally the end of an engagement, but it would have been pretty much the end of her having any prospects in life. And yet she says yes to God. And if you read the Gospel of Matthew, the angel Gabriel comes to Joseph in a dream to make sure that he gets it too. And they embark on this incredible journey. But before Mary gets to Bethlehem, she goes to see her cousin Elizabeth. Elizabeth and Zechariah were in their old age. Zechariah was a priest, and the angel Gabriel had come to him 3 months before coming to Mary while he was leading worship in the temple, and that they would have a son. And their son would be filled with the Holy Spirit and would turn hearts back to God, parents back to their children, and all to repentance in order to prepare the way for the Messiah. And so Mary comes to see Elizabeth, who's now 3 months pregnant, or 6 months pregnant, with her soon-to-be-born son, John, the baptizer. And this child is filled with the Holy Spirit. And upon hearing the words of Mary's greeting, Elizabeth, too, is filled with the Holy Spirit, and the child leaps in her womb, almost like the two children inside of them are greeting each other because the power of the Holy Spirit connects them to each other. and these two greet one another. Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. For those who grew up Catholic, that should sound familiar. God was up to something big. And it's almost like, as important as the story of John and his role in getting people prepared for Jesus, it's almost like the story of Zechariah and Elizabeth is there to bolster the faith and courage of Mary. Put yourself in Mary's position once again. You've had this angelic visitation. You've been told how your role in the story of salvation will play out. And after going through this amazing experience, one would expect there might be a little bit of a spiritual letdown after a day or two. And maybe some questions would come into your mind and you'd wonder, did that really happen? And I'm supposed to do what? And so for whatever reason, and I think it's spirit-led, Mary goes to visit her cousin Elizabeth. And if you read one more verse than the appointed text, it says Mary stayed with Elizabeth for 3 months. Now, I'm not an OBGYN, but 6 plus 3 sounds like 9. 9 months. So she may or may not have been there for the birth of John, but very, very close to it. And you can imagine that Elizabeth and Mary had many conversations about each of their divine pregnancies. Elizabeth and Zechariah were barren and had tried for years and had been praying and praying and praying for a child until the angel came to Zechariah, who we remember is mute, so he didn't get to join in this conversation for those 3 months. They're just talking, and Mary, the most unlikely to be the mother of the Messiah. Teenage, unmarried girl from nowhere. And they're talking not just about what's happening within their bodies, but they're talking about what's happening in a divine way. What is God up to? And at the very least, we can say that God's plan of salvation is intricate. It involves many unexpected people, and it happens in a way that is completely a surprise. As they talk through, Mary speaks what we call the Magnificat. My soul magnifies the Lord. It's a beautiful piece of poetry that's often sung. My soul magnifies the Lord, Mary sings. And I want you to think about this word, magnifies. Something that's under a magnifying glass, you get to see something more clearly. It reveals itself in very minute details. Mary speaks by the power of the Spirit that her soul, her personhood, reveals something about God. That coming into this world, the Messiah came not to congratulate the rich, not to coronate a king, but to lift up the lowly, to make sure that the hungry are fed, to care for the least of these, to bring down those in power, to scatter their thoughts, and for those who don't repent to be sent away hungry. It's a reversal. Just like when Jesus says, the last shall be first and the first shall be last. And any, if they follow me, let them take up their cross and follow through a path of denying oneself. Mary understood not just that she was chosen to carry the Christ child, but the very message of the gospel, that God's love is for everyone. And no matter what the world says about you, or what the world may seem to say about those who have very little, God's heart is with them. God's love is for you and for the whole world. Mary's great faith and courage is an inspiration to me. As we remember her story today, as we enter into this most holy time, as we celebrate the birth of Jesus, and as the kids shared with us today, all the distractions of this season, all the busyness that we go through, I hope you'll take a moment and remember Mary and the key role she played, the faith and courage she demonstrated, and that we might follow her example as we follow her son. Amen.